D.H. Lawrence's masterpiece, Lady Chatterley's Lover, is possibly the book he spent his life preparing to write. Privately printed at his own expense in Italy in 1928, just 2 years before his death, it is a book that has left an incredible mark on the history of literature. It was banned in the U.S. until 1959, when publisher Barney Rossett of Grove Press succeeded in getting a court verdict to overturn the ban. Heavily expurgated versions had been published here, but not the full text, though Francis Stetloff of the Gotham Book Mart had made headlines by distributing Lady Chatterley in direct contradiction of the ban. One of the arguments against the book was that children should not risk finding it and reading it, which at the age of 12 was exactly what I did. I was trying to figure out how this whole sex thing worked, and the cover of Lady Chatterley's Lover promised lots of answers. I was incredibly disappointed to discover that there was very little practical and useful information in the book, and that I had already learned far more from television and the magazines available at the supermarket checkout line. Had things really changed so much between 1958 and 1992, I have to wonder now. What could have been so genuinely terrifying about this book that it couldn't be published? In a very surprising way, I got an answer to that question 2 years ago. The bookstore had reopened in its new location, and we were having our first Banned Books Week celebration since the move. In the early part of the afternoon, a trio of women ranging in age from 3 years old to late 60s came in to browse. Grandma, who looked far too young for that title, with her alabaster skin and Dutch blonde hair, had noticed the signs and display that we had up for Banned Books Week, and she asked me a few questions, her South African accent washing over me. And then, with very little fanfare, she stopped me cold by mentioning that she was a biographer of Nelson Mandela. And I asked her how she had managed that. She asked if I knew what apartheid was. I confirmed that I did. And she began a story that led up to her original question about Lady Chatterley. She had been a journalist in South Africa, and as such had cultivated contacts among government officials. One was on the censor board, charged with deciding what was acceptable for South Africans to read, see, or hear, and what was not. In a moment of candor, her contact had recounted to her the experience of reading Lady Chatterley's Lover, a book on the prohibited list. He adored it. It spoke to him of things he had long thought of and wondered about, and so, against the rules, he took it home for his wife and gave it to her to read. "It completely changed his marriage," she said to me with a knowing grin. "You know, then, Afrikaans girls were taught to lie there and think about God. But he said his wife was so changed by what she discovered in Lady Chatterley that he wanted to give it to all of his friends and all of their wives to read." And thus began a deep personal crisis as he realized that he was charged with suppressing this book that he wanted to proselytize for. If he could love this book so much that he was charged with enforcing the censorship of, what about the other items on the censorship list? We both fell silent for a moment, meditating on what she had just recounted. And her beautiful granddaughter with kinky dark hair and creamy caramel skin came running up, demanding to be picked up by Grandma, who complied. Stroking her granddaughter's hair, she said with great pride, "But we've come a long way. She's a child of New South Africa."